The rest of you, turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians, Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4, we'll be reading verses 11 through 13. Verse number 11, the Bible says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Heavenly Father, Lord, as we open up the Word today, Lord, as we study your word, that you'll give us what we need out of it. Lord, that we would be excited for a new year, but also, Lord, that our plans would only include you. And Lord, that we would run everything past you and through you before making any steps forward. Lord, just bless and guide. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. As we get into this passage, and I've preached on Psalms... Preached on Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 13 before, but in a different sense. And I chose this passage because we are going into a new year. For those of you that know me, you know that I am not a big fan of New Year's resolutions. As a youth leader over the years, every year I'd get the youth together, and that last youth group meeting, the last Sunday school before the new year, was about setting New Year's resolutions. And we get so excited about a new year, and this year is going to be different than last year. And we get excited about changing locations. We get excited about doing so because we can leave something behind in the old year, or something behind in the old residence, and something behind where I used to go to school at or where I used to live at. And now I can start over. Nobody knows me. Nobody knows what's going on. And I can have the life that I have always wanted. And I'm against the whole thing. Because if something is worthwhile doing, why do we wait until January 1st to start? In fact, by the time January 1st comes along, most of our resolve to do anything is gone by the wayside. This past month, if you were to watch any TV at all, or drive around town at all, or happen to go to a gym, you will notice that they pushed hard this last month to get people signed up for a membership. And if you'll attend our gym, you'll see results over the year. Yes, you will. You'll see the same results I saw this last year. Every month they take this much money out of my checking account. You see that? They're faithful about that. The rest of the results I didn't notice. The things that I was expecting when I signed up. But as we go into the new year, and I'm against setting New Year's resolutions, but I'm not against setting goals and setting down and getting on your knees before God and saying, "Lord, if you give us a new year, what do you want me to do? If I get another year, Lord, what can I do different that I didn't do this last year? And Lord, most of all, what can we get done?" Verse number 11, he starts out and says, "Not that I speak in respect of want." Paul understood something that we as Christians must understand, that there is no place in a Christian's life for complaining. Doesn't matter how your day is going. Give Brother Terry a hard time because, you know, but it's one of those things. You know, if you think you're having a bad day, who of you in here started out with a crash today? Yeah, see, two hands. You know, you want to know more, talk to Brother Terry after church. But at least it was Brother Terry doing it, because if a wife crashes the husband's pickup truck, oh, there is no escaping the wrath to come. But there's no rule. We understand it, and it's not to look at somebody else. And I know somebody who every day faithfully gets the newspaper, opens up the newspaper to the obituaries, to the back section of the newspaper, reads the obituaries, and is excited that their name isn't there. If they have the newspaper, they're pretty much guaranteed their name isn't there. But they don't stop there. They go further back and they read all about all the bankruptcies and all of the other things. And they go, see, I don't have it that bad. If you're sitting here today, we don't have it that bad. But oh, you don't have to hunt very far to find something today to complain about. The last time I felt wind like that was Minnesota, North Dakota, those places where the part, and you see all of the and we just wanted to take something and go, well, this just isn't fair for me. And Paul understood the fact that no matter where he's at, today's a good day. Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 14. And here's the thing about a preacher. When he says something and then he has to live it later on, right? Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 14, Paul says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Could you imagine if you'd have started out verse number 11 in chapter number 4 and said, and by the way, you would not believe how my day is going. I'm chained to a soldier who is really tall, and I cannot put my arm down most of the time because it just doesn't. He would have a lot to complain about. He would be able to take out a list, and on our worst day, Paul would be able to go, well, yeah. Paul would be like, can we switch? I'll trade you a stoning for your day today. But he says, for I have learned. He learned, in other words, he has learned something in a way, basically, that he understands it. We know that it's easier to catch something than it is to teach something. Right? How many, we go to school and somebody teaches us algebra and we struggle with it, and eventually we learn it to a point where we understand it. And once we understand it, it's awesome, because then we can take the test and it's not that big a deal. We tell our kids when they're growing up, as mom's in the kitchen baking or dad's in the kitchen baking, depends on who does it. But the oven is hot, and the toddler will come in, and you stay away from that. It's hot. And they'll keep going over, and you stay away, and eventually you're going to have your back turned, and they'll go over and touch it just to see. Kind of like young boys in Minnesota. Don't lick a flagpole in the cold. And eventually you'll find that young boy out with his tongue stuck to the flagpole. And then they never do that twice. In Arizona, we ran quite a bit of electric wire to keep the stray cows and everything out of our gardens and stuff like that. And we'd tell the kids, don't touch that. And they would learn it. They would understand why. Just like Paul says, I learned. They understand why right after they do it. Verse number 12, then he goes on and says, and I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. A lot of the challenge of the Christian life isn't to learn how to be abased. We seem to, as Christians, especially if you talk to any of them for very long, oh, it's a bad day and everything is going wrong and everything. We learn how to be abased really well. But when God starts blessing us, have we learned how to receive those blessings? How to do something with those blessings? How to handle those blessings? Or have we run into problems there? He says, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. He's taught. He's taught how to be that way. He's instructed in that way. It's different than that he learned it. He's taught that from Jesus Christ. You notice in our lives, it's not what we have, but what we don't have that often guides what we do. Well, I don't have any money. I don't have this. I don't have that. And so we make our decisions based on what we don't have rather than what God has done. Rather than on what God is doing. You go, Pastor, what are you saying? That you know, there's a new car down the street that I've really been wanting to have, but I really don't have the finances or the ability to make the payments on that. But you're saying, no, I'm not. Use some wisdom there and be instructed in the fact that if you have to learn the hard way when you don't have what's necessary, don't be running out doing stuff. But he then gets into verse number 13 and says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He starts out with I, and you notice so many times we're so concerned about numero uno, the person that's filling our shoes, the person that we're looking in the mirror at today, all of that stuff. And if you say I, and then somebody will come up and they'll tell you there's no I in team. And they're right, but when it comes to dependence on God, that isn't a team sport. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a personal dependence on Jesus. And it belonging to a specific group, going to the right church, going to wherever, doesn't get us into heaven. It's our salvation. It's our belief in Jesus Christ. It's His shed blood on the cross. There's no way, if it was possible, later here after the service we're going to do a couple of baptisms, and if it was possible for baptism to save anybody, then boy, I'd be running around baptizing everybody I came in contact with, because wow, the alternative of eternity would be worth it. But after he says I, he says can. What kind of attitude do you approach the day with? Is it a can or a can't attitude? When you get up in bed, oh, I can't do it today. I can't get through this. My wife and I have this conversation all the time. When I'm driving, it's I can make that light. My wife is like, you can't make that light. She's wrong. So far. But what kind of attitude? How are we approaching? Paul says, I can. Job 8, verse number 20 says, behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will He help the evildoers. I was looking at this morning, and there's, I remember, and I was in studying for Sunday school, I was going through, and I found this deal, and the guy was talking about being placed on a shelf. I'm like going, man, I can't find that in the Bible about being placed on a shelf. I find in the Bible where when you sin, God doesn't place you on a shelf. It says, whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth. I realize today is popular. I wish it had been a lot more popular when I was growing up. Today is popular to give the child a time out. When I was growing up, it was really popular to give the child some time, some much needed personal attention back in what we call the woodshed, along with a little personal Bible reading time and everything else. And obviously I turned out a horrible child with many scars, but whatever the case may be, as it goes forward, what kind of attitude do you have? Or is it the kind of attitude where God can use you, or the kind of attitude where, no, not today, Lord. There's things that I want to do. There's things that I want to get done, Lord. If you only understood what was important to me, then Lord, you would understand why I'm going to do it this way. He goes on and says, I can do. Romans 2:13 says, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers, only deceiving your own selves. He says, I can do. And then he goes on and says, all things. If we take John chapter number 3, verse number 16, and everybody knows that verse, has learned that verse sometime in their childhood, and it usually comes to mind fairly quickly, but it says, for God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That whosoever applies even here. Paul says, I can do all things. Now, if you have had a toddler, if you've had a teenager, or any span of years in between there, up until about, I think 40-something is when we really decide, especially as guys, that, well, we can't do things anymore.